Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Okay, we're having a few technical problems right now. Right, let's start this again. Welcome to Moon Magic with Jeanette and David Ewing. And tonight we are talking about baneful herbs. And some would have said at the top of the hour that the reason why we're having a little bit of communication snafu would be because Mercury happens to be in retrograde.
Oh, is it?
I think it is still. So if that happens to be, you know, something that you follow, then maybe that's why. Or maybe we're just not all of our lights aren't on right now. So I don't mean physically. I mean metaphorically. So, yeah, maybe we're just a little slow on the uptake tonight. There you go. So we're talking about baneful herbs. And depending on who you talk to, whether it's somebody who's written a particular book on it, a particular teacher, school of thought, it depends on your particular Wiccan, witchcraft, pagan past. There's going to be a lot of interpretations on what is meant by the term baneful herb and or a baneful plant. It could be a plant that has a multitude of uses, but are not necessarily used just for doing exorcisms or banishing work or strong defensive magic. I like to think of baneful herbs in a larger category. And I thought it would be a good time of the year to talk about this, primarily because we are entering Samhaintide. We are, what is today? Today is October 7th, and we have not pulled all of our plethora of Halloween decorations out of storage yet, but we'll probably be doing that over the weekend so we can get stuff set up. And dovetailing on this is a really cool discussion Selena Fox had last night on how really Halloween and Samhain are very strongly intertwined, and there's a lot of historical reasons for that and how Halloween really evolved in the United States, and even some of the practices that are in the U.S. now have jumped back across the pond.
Oh, back over. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like the use of pumpkins. People in the U.K. use pumpkins at Halloween now, but they wouldn't have originally because pumpkins are a New World food. But anyway, when we talk about Samhain and Samhaintide, you know, there's this whole long month, and it can be up more than a month. If you follow where Samhain would fall astronomically, then it's 6 weeks between the fall equinox and the winter solstice, which technically puts it at about a week-ish after when Halloween and was it All Souls, All Saints, I get those mixed up.
Yeah.
when that is celebrated. And still many people, many pagans will have Samhain celebrations very close to or even on October 31st.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think of Samhaintide along the same lines as Selena Fox and think of it more as a time period rather than a very discrete period of time, a tiny period of time.
Right. So it like spans like a week or two instead of like a day.
Right.
And that's because a lot of ancient cultures, the Greeks, the Romans, and others, and the Celts and stuff would actually celebrate. I mean, it wasn't like a day. There was a time. So
right.
It was like days or weeks sometimes of celebration for a specific, for something, yeah.
Right. And,
yeah.
You know, what's cool about having technology and living in the 21st century is that even if you are stuck working in an office most of the time and you're not easily able to see changes of the seasons, or you live in a part of the United States or better yet a part of the world where you may not see discrete changes in seasons, we have nifty technologies that help us to have ways to track when we are closer to that time, we are closer to that astronomical time. Also related to this would be doing things during the waning days of a lunar cycle,
mm-hmm.
right, after a full moon, or using this time and starting this time as a time period, a longer time period when you're starting to look at the changing of the seasons, the earth is slowing down, not literally, it's not slowing down, spinning on its axis, okay, can't put that out there, disclaimer.
But the pace of nature seems to be slowing.
Yes, the pace of nature is slowing down, and the days are definitely shorter here in the northern hemisphere. The sunlight is definitely less intense.
Mm-hmm.
Leaves are falling from the trees. It's getting cooler, especially the nights are getting cooler. So this is a good time to start looking at protection or reinforcing protection for yourself. You haven't done it in a while. Doing banishing work,
mm-hmm.
and doing larger workings to help get rid of things that no longer serve. That's a more general term, but if you wanted to be more specific, take stock of your relationships, take stock of the people that are in your life, and to remove them with the help of banishing work where you can do work to help you say goodbye to those relationships and those people and personal habits that we all have that no longer serve you and in many ways are downright harmful and toxic to you. We all do it. We know we do it. And this can be a good time to start regular workings to help you get rid of those habits that just are not good for you, that no longer serve you. And for some, that might include maybe doing some shadow work. And so some of the herbs I'm going to be talking about can help with that.
Uh-huh.
So as I was doing this and making up my notes for this, started off, I like to start off more general, maybe less hardcore, before I go into the really hardcore stuff. And when we talk about doing protection work and defensive magic and banishing or exorcism, whichever term you prefer, I think they're kind of interchangeable, but some might have different definitions of it. And bindings, because you can do bindings too.
Yep.
We start in the kitchen, and we start with herbs that are more common and herbs and seeds and spices that may also have a medicinal use. First ones I always think of are plants that are spicy or pungent or purgative. In other words, plants that make you hurl.
Purge being the key word in that word.
Purge being the, yes, the effective phrase there. I always think of, and I've used them. I've used them in spell work for years because they're readily available. I've used them in whole pepper, whole form, ground up. I've used essential oils of them. And for some, I've even used the whole, like the whole plant.
Mm-hmm.
The first one or the first group would be things that are spicy, like the various peppers. You can use pepper fruit. I've used peppercorns. I've also used ground pepper. If you're using cayenne, be very judicious about you using that. You can also use chili peppers and chili powder. And others, part of this basic list, are cloves, peppermint, rosemary, and basil. Those are the ones that are the immediate ones that come to mind for me that are directly, I mean, they're food related. So many of these are either protective and or banishing in their usage. And there are there are always overlapping uses. Some, if you look at lists, especially if you go by Cunningham's, Scott Cunningham's Encyclopedia of Magical Herbs. It's not the only magical herb book around, but it is one of the ones that has a lot of good information. It's been out for a couple decades now, and it's got a good listing of a wide variety of plants and a multitude. There are multitudes of uses. Related to this, though, and I have done it occasionally, are using garlic and onions, but it would be like, no, I would not chop up garlic and onions and set plates out of them. You know, I would take an onion and chop it in half, or take garlic, like the whole cloves, and there are uses for them that are both protective and banishing, where you'll in windows, you know, on windowsills.
Okay.
In various rooms of the house. So there are uses for these types of foods as well. But that's a pretty basic sort of a thing. Related to peppermint are also other kinds of mints, like spearmint. Sometimes you'll see different uses for those. I've seen them used interchangeably, but again, depending on the author, it may not be. The different mints, but I personally have used them for protective work and occasionally for exorcism and banishing type of works. There are also a number of plants that are or that fall into the resin category. And the resins are used outright. Times these plants are different parts of the plants are used, like the bark or the leaves. But a lot of times, it's really the resins of them or essential oil versions of them. And these would be frankincense, dragon's blood, Copal, and there, copal is a generalized term for a resin that comes from a variety of different kinds of resinous cone-bearing trees from various parts of the world. There is copal from Mexico and certain places in Central America, but that's not the only place. There are generalized terms for copal from trees in other parts of the world as well.
Yeah. We talked about that 2 weeks ago.
Right. So, again, when you see the term copal, it could be that it comes from a few different places. But even so, I think the nature of the resin itself and the type of tree that it comes from
mm-hmm.
makes it really useful for protective work to do. And to you can either burn it by itself or you can make blends, ground resin blends that are highly protective and do a very good job of eliminating harmful energies and influences when burned in your own home and even outside your own home and, you know, around the perimeter of your home. One blend that I've put together, and it was a modification of recipes that I've gotten from another of Scott Cunningham's book. It is the where is it?
This one? No.
No, it's the I have so many. The Complete Book of Incense Oils and Brews.
Right.
And I started off with this a long time ago, but there's another book that I found a number of years later that I've also used as, I guess, a starting point for some of my other incense recipes. And it's called The Book of Incense. It's by Wylundt, W-Y-L-U-N-D-T, Wylundt's Book of Incense. This author also has a book on bonuses of all kinds. I haven't gotten the book. Every time I see it, and then periodically and then forget about it again, but I really do need to get it. This Book of Incense has many, many, many recipes on types of incense, the ingredients, and a host of different recipes, mundane, magical, ritual, planetary incense, the whole nine yards. And I mention this because I have made various protection and banishing and other defensive magic types of incense blends where I will use a combination of herbs and resins because the resins burn better and they will produce a very powerful but also pleasant smelling aroma that can offset some of the more pungent smells of some of the herbs that you could add to it. And I would always add them, the herbs in smaller quantities, because although they were magically powerful, burning too much of them can make a room too smoky, or it could give you a headache. And there are some unpleasant side effects. They're certainly more smoky when you burn plant matter versus burning a resin. But that's just one way you can work with. You can also make tinctures and do a wide variety of other things that I've talked about before. But I brought these up, and besides frankincense, dragon's blood, and copal, and those are three big types of resins that are used a lot for...
So what?
Yeah, a lot for protection work and just defensive work in general. I like to bring them up, like, right off the bat. But you can also use pine and juniper. I have seen the resins.
Uh-huh.
Well, I've seen them on trees. I mean, I've also seen them sold. But you can take pine cones and juniper cones. You can also take the needles of both of these trees and dry them a little bit, burn them, or you can use them in a wide variety of other ways. So they also have those properties, but they're not poisonous per se. Then we have plants that are, they are medicinal. They have a wide variety of different properties. So they are healing herbs, but they can also be used, magically speaking, they can also be used for protective work and or banishing work. But if you were to look at magical uses of them, you might also see that it can be used for protection and healing. Mm-hmm. Or it might be exorcism and healing or some other magical usage that you might not really think of, but it's not surprising when you see this, because when people attributed these magical or metaphysical properties, a lot of it overlapped with long-term medicinal or folk uses. And I hesitate to use the word folk usage, because before modern pharmaceuticals came along,
mm-hmm.
many of these plants were used to treat actual for real illnesses. It wasn't like, well, put an onion on your foot and it'll get rid of a wart. We're not talking about that sort of a thing, although it could be useful because probably the allium properties of onions and garlic
mm-hmm.
may do something to get rid of the viruses that cause wart. Mm-hmm. Just putting it out there. But this is why you would tend to see something like a banishing or a protective magical quality with some of these. And this is just a tiny list. But some of them that came to mind right off the bat were yarrow and horehound. You can even buy horehound cough drops.
Oh, yeah, at the grocery store.
I think they're gross, but they work. They're bitter.
Yeah.
There's a particular pungent type of taste to horehound. What people say growing up, if it tastes bad, it must be good for you. And if that's the case, then horehound must be really good for you because it tastes like crap. But it is really good for you. It's used within a wide variety of respiratory problems. But if you look in books, it is associated with certain magical uses, which I find really interesting and intriguing that something that is used for medicinally also has these certain properties. And not only, and I use horehound as an example, here's some other folk names for horehound: bull's blood. Horehound is also spelled H-O-A-R-H-O-U-N-D sometimes. Seed of horns, soldier's tea. There's a Welsh name that I'm not even going to try to pronounce because it's just L's and W's and Y's. So I'm not going to even try it. No. But again, it is used medicinally for a lot of respiratory issues, but magically it is associated with protection and mental powers and exorcism and, not surprisingly, healing. This is one of these of many types of herbs you see that has these multiple purposes. But I bring this up specifically because it is a classic example of an herb that's used medicinally, but you can also use it in protection and banishing. So is it baneful, quote unquote? Maybe not, but it is part of, I would say, your protective magical arsenal, for sure.
Sure.
If you don't have some of these other things that I'm going to mention in just a little bit, who has some of you might have this. A lot of you probably won't. So, again, that's when you turn to the things that are more readily available. Another example of a healing herb, an herb that is used medicinally, is mullein, that also has a variety of medicinal uses. I've seen recipes for mullein and horehound used together for different kinds of respiratory ailments. So I know that is what it's used for. But like horehound, so has these multiple uses. In this case, it is magically used for courage, protection, health, love, divination, and exorcism. So you do have the dual protection exorcism usage. Some of the other names for mullein are candlewick plant. And Celine was talking about this plant last night as a plant also associated with this time of year, with Samhain.
Yeah.
She was talking about how, because of the nature of, I guess, the kinds of oils that are found in mullein, that you can, when you dry it, you can burn it. I mean, and it's a, use it as a wick.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Plant. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. So not surprisingly, there are these folk names for them. One of them is candlewick plant. One of them is hedge taper, Jupiter staff, which I think is interesting, shepherd's club, velvet plant. There's some weird ones. Old man's fennel. I don't know why, but it's old man's fennel. Oh.
Fennel?
Okay. Fennel. Yeah, but I don't think it looks like fennel. I don't know.
No.
Yeah, but it is, again, it is definitely used medicinally, for sure. So, again, I bring that up because these are two plants that I know of that are used medicinally but have these obvious magical uses. Then we have the plants that may not be obvious in their usage, thistle and nettles.
Yeah.
Think about plant.
Thistle and nettles, they're both spiky, and they're plants that you try to avoid because they're spiky. And,
yeah.
You know, and stuff. Yeah. So that would see how that would be a good protection plants because of that aspect. Yeah.
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 And while they, if you eat them, they won't make you sick. You can eat young, little, like freshly sprouted nettle leaves,
uh-huh.
and they don't have the little hairs on them yet. But so you can pluck them and not have the itchy fingers, the irritated fingers from the little tiny nettle hairs, which
uh-huh.
are just horrid and itch like hell and just uncomfortable. But yes, you can use, yes, and they happen to be high in vitamin C. So, again, you have these multiple uses. But this is a good example.
Iron is awesome.
I think so. You can use nettle around the house to keep evil out and to send it back.
Okay.
I like that.
Yeah.
Offhand, I'm not exactly sure if you can. No, you can buy nettle leaves. I've seen them in herbal stores. They come already dried. But you can wildcraft them for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and there's plenty of pictures. If you just Google it or use, you know, some other search engine, you can find good pictures of nettles and, you know, what they look like. And, I mean, even if you want, again, if you wanted to, you could probably dig them out. If you really wanted to transplant them on your property,
yeah.
Beware, though, like a lot of naturally occurring plants that people like to call weeds, they tend to self-sow and reproduce pretty easily in most parts of the United States. Even in places farther north, like Circle Sanctuary, which is where we've seen them growing, and in fact, at Green Spirit Festivals, we would do a nature walk, and they've done it for several years before COVID happened. You go out onto the land, and you do a nature walk, and one of the regulars would, that are, you know, very familiar with all the native plants, go out and pick a variety of different plants that are blooming and growing, you know, in late July, early August, and they'd make a soup out of it, some of the ingredients. Yeah. And nettles would be one of them. So they're definitely edibles, good for you. But again, they have properties of exorcism and protection, healing as well. And again, the physical properties of the plant are great, because if you think of, and there's this whole school of thought when it comes to magical usage of herbs and even medicinal, this doctrine of signatures,
mm-hmm.
that was developed a long time ago, like hundreds of years ago. And a lot of these common attributes are still used with, when it comes to fondances and attributes for plants that are used. Another plant that's related, that I just mentioned, are thistles. And if nettles are spiky, thistles are definitely worse. Definitely very prickly, very irritating to pluck. But if you have them on your property, or you decide to wildcraft some,
go find some,
mm-hmm. they are also a plant that is very useful for this kind of magical use. They have a classic, the leaves have this classic spiky to them, but they also have notable thorns on them. And at the top, there's this pretty little purple flower that, I don't know how you would describe what the flower looks like.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of lavendery purple type color.
Oh, it's like the national flower of Scotland.
I know.
It says a lot about Scotland.
I know. I don't,
Scots, you know. That,
that really, it does.
It does. It kind of says a lot about Scots because, you know, that they associate with this prickly, it's a pretty flower.
It is
a pretty
flower. But it's a prickly
little plant. And I
it
guess,
is.
You know, as I learn more about my Scottish ancestry, I think that that kind of connects.
I will neither
prickly
confirm nor deny that statement.
Pretty and prickly, yes.
But thistle is used for protection and exorcism. It's also used for hex breaking. So as a plant that I would classify as maybe baneful-like,
mm-hmm.
it's not hardcore baneful, it's in the annoying baneful category. And depending on who you talk to, it is also, depending on the exact species, there are thistles that are invasive species. So it is worth putting out there. So if you chose to work with Sissel,
mm-hmm.
and you decided to wildcraft some of it, I would try to even get the plant up at the root and use it, you know, whatever magical purpose you wanted to use it for. And the benefit to that is that, you know, again, take a good picture of the plant. And there are plant identification apps that are very useful and will help you to tell the difference between whether that particular thistle is a naturally occurring thistle here in the U.S.
Is it native?
Yeah, whether it's a native U.S. or whether it's native to where you are, because the other thistles that are grown in the U.S. that are invasive come from Europe. So if you're listening and you're in Europe, then you probably don't have anything to worry about because the thistle you see there is probably native.
The North American thistles probably haven't made it across, but the other way around.
Yes,
sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can carry thistle or part of a thistle, maybe just carry the flowering part because that's the least, you know, obnoxious to carry and harmful to your fingers. For energy and strength. So it is good for strength. And a lot of times I like the idea of having things that are good for strength and courage in workings for protection.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when I think of strength, I'm thinking more of mental fortitude and courage to handle bad people that come your way or bad situations to keep them at bay. So that's kind of where my head is when I think about that. Here you go. If you have had a spell cast against you, wear a shirt made of fibers spun and woven from thistle to break it and any other spells. I would imagine if you take the plant and you beat the fibers and you pulverize it, like you break down the fibers, then I guess it's not really
as prickly,
itchy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it just means that if you have the gumption to make a shirt and then to wear it, maybe you'll be so pissed off already that you know, maybe people will know to stay the hell away from you. I don't know.
None of us, that's what'll break the spell. Yeah.
I don't know. It just sort of, it just dawned on me. But you can, another use is to make poppets and stuff them with thistles, and they're good for breaking hexes on you, against you. So, yeah. Again, I call it a baneful light, but not necessarily true.
Yeah, I mean, some of these are things that maybe would not be considered baneful because they're not poisonous. They're not plants that would kill you, kind of a thing. Kind of baneful because you wouldn't want to spend any close time with them, like, you know, because they're prickly and spiny and
right.
Icky and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. A couple of other plants that I put into the category, one of them is rue. And now rue is associated with, you can use it for exorcism. It's also good for healing and health and this sort of thing. But it is worth noting that rue can be a purgative herb. It is an abortifacient, like pennyroyal. So while many people would probably classify these as healing herbs, and they certainly are, they've been used for other things,
mm-hmm.
these two herbs have specifically been associated and used historically as abortifacients. It will help a woman who has just gotten pregnant to expel the contents. And, of course, I do have to say that these two plants, one would have to use very judiciously if one were even trying to do something like that. And I would say buyer beware, use them for other purposes rather than that, because it can be very dicey. And historically, that women did use herbs to help induce abortions and to stimulate the uterus to contract and this sort of thing. But you had to have the dosages right, and you had to have the concentrations right. And you had to drink a decent amount of it, and there was always risks associated with doing that.
Because, I mean, if you had it, if you had too little, you
it
know,
wouldn't work.
It wouldn't work. You probably feel bad, but it wouldn't work. And if you had too much, it would. It could be probably.
But because of those kinds of uses, they can become really powerful plants to use metaphysically or magically for doing these really strong kinds of work. I mean, you think about one of their historical uses, and I mean, it is doable. When you would use, if you were to use rue or pennyroyal, especially pennyroyal, medicinally, if you use it magically in, let's say, a sachet, or if you made a tincture that you want to, or an oil that you want to anoint candles with another blend of other stuff, or scatter it in a place around your home or inside your home. If the plant has those kind of powers medicinally, how strong is it as something to be used for getting rid of something or someone you don't want in your life anymore?
Yeah.
Think about that. So the last little grouping are the ones that are, frankly, they're poisonous outright. And these are the actual baneful herbs. And I've known about them for a long time. Certain authors have written about them. Historically, we've probably heard about them and uses of them, like, for example, hemlock, definitely a poison. Wormwood, and interestingly, wormwood can, I mean, if you were to, like, make a tea, or probably more stronger, a tincture, it apparently does induce some sort of hallucination response, and historically was one of the herbs, not the only one, but one of the big ones that was used in making absinthe.
Yeah.
Now, the process of making absinthe was also super dicey, and half the reason why people had hallucinations was because of just how it was made, aside from apparently adding any wormwood to it. But wormwood was also added. And, you know, when you add those, when you add a crappy distillation process that was dicey, that was probably slightly poisonous with a plant that is known for causing hallucinations, then, yeah, you have a recipe for fun times. But wormwood, and I might still have some upstairs. I've never taken it or used it because of that. I'm like, no, I'm not going to really try experimenting by making a tea with it, but it is, because of those kinds of uses, a baneful herb, a baneful plant. And one author that talks about the use, and not enough, frankly, but, I mean, he talks about it, each of some of these in a reasonable amount of detail. I'd always like to see more and learn more about it, and you can find it from other sources. But this is a good introduction. And the author is Christopher Pinzak. The book is called The Plant Spirit Familiar. He wrote this a few years back, and he talks about all the various ways you can develop relationships with plants without actually having to drink a tea or make a tincture. There are other ways you can work at them. And this is why I kind of kept these to the very end, because of the fact that, yes, they are what we would call the baneful herbs, but also because being poisonous in and of themselves means that you would need to be judicious in how you handled the physical plant. That being said, you can still develop relationships and work with the plant, work with the energy of the plant, learn to meditate with the plant. So there are other ways you can work with it other than just in a physical way. You could also just have the dried plants with you and have them in different kinds of spell work without burning them or making a tincture or anything that you would ingest. Now, it is worth noting that some of these are also poisonous to handle. One of them is called aconite. It's also called wolf's bane, also called monk's hood, and historically, this is historically, mythologically, it was used to make a drink that would either get rid of or attract werewolves. In Harry Potter, aconite was used to help Remus.
All right.
Okay. But historically, apparently, this was used to make a poison that would kill wolves. Hence the word wolf's bane.
Yeah.
Right. So it was associated with werewolves and shape-shifting and lycanthropy. It is in Greek mythology. It grew up from where the spittle of the underworld guardian Cerberus dripped to the ground. Yeah. But it is associated with spirituality, with introspection, from withdrawing the senses from the world to focus on the inner reality. It's also, it can also be used to develop psychic abilities, but it is a poisonous plant. Wormwood, also a good baneful herb. It is associated with exorcism, with definitely with baneful work. It can be used for warding off unwanted spirits. Medicinally, it works to ward off parasites and other unwanted creatures in its role as a vermifuge. So it does have some medicinal qualities, but again, you know, it's something that you probably wouldn't want to take too much of just because. It is something that is associated with being trickster-like, the essence or the energy of wormwood. So it can also be used to call spirits and summon those entities with whom you desire communion. So
okay.
I feel like maybe it gets a bad rap as a baneful herb. It's not, again, poisonous in the same category as aconite or belladonna or foxglove or hemlock, but it is considered a baneful herb. You can use it in instances to aid in developing psychic powers, but again, just like any of these other herbs that could have very strong, maybe psychic qualities. Again, it is said to induce hallucinations, especially if you drink it as a tea. I don't know if it will do that in strong enough quantities if you burn it. So if you were to make a blend, I would include smaller percentages of wormwood and then other resins that burn with that to kind of, maybe offset what you're actually breathing in.
Uh-huh.
As just a useful thing, probably make sure your windows are open or, burn it outside where you're not going to be too impacted by inhaling something like that. So, according to some traditions, it is said to counteract the effects of poisoning by hemlock and toadstools. But, yeah, I would not.
Yeah, really.
Bet your life on that. Cunningham wrote years ago, I wouldn't bet my life on its effectiveness in this area. Again, it is definitely something that is burned to summon spirits. So it can be good for developing psychic powers
mm-hmm.
and for summoning spirits. So, again, I think it gets a hard rap as being a baneful herb.
Right.
For a plant like wolf's bane, or again, it's called aconite, if you manage to be able to find it, and there might be some places where you can get it. I've seen certain websites, and I don't remember, this was years ago, where you could find and buy the seeds to a number of plants, some of which that are on this list and considered to be baneful herbs. And then you would, be able to grow your own. I don't know how, like I said, I know you can buy wormwood and some of these others, but I just don't think you can find wolf's bane or monk's hood that easily. Maybe you can, but I've not done a lot of looking around for it. It is definitely poisonous, though. Don't eat it. Don't rub any part of the plant on your skin because it is highly poisonous. Probably a good reason why, if you wanted to work with this plant, I would work with it in other forms. I would, if you wanted to develop a relationship with this, you can work with the spiritual essence of the plant. Research the plant, find out about it, get good pictures of it, meditate with it to develop a plant spirit familiar
mm-hmm.
relationship with it. Next on this list is belladonna. Belladonna is also called deadly nightshade. Belladonna was used by women you could buy it as a tincture, and Italian, and it wasn't only Italian women. Women in like medieval times and up into the Victorian era would use it to dilate their eyes. So you'd buy it as a little tincture or some sort of drops. Put it in your eyes, it would make your pupils dilate.
Wow.
So giving the impression that it would make the woman more beautiful because her pupils were dilated and big and more luminous looking. There are different types of nightshades, though, and Penzac talks about a number of these besides just belladonna or quote-unquote deadly nightshade. There are different kinds of attributes for them, and these are, again, ones that I would definitely classify as baneful. They're associated with protection and death and other kinds of things, but again, this is one where you can research the plant and you can probably find seeds to grow it if you really wanted to grow it. But there are different properties to some of the different nightshades. There's one called bitter nightshade, and it can be used to bind one's enemies. But again, there are other plants that you can use for binding magic besides the nightshade. Some of these also, again, the regular nightshade is very good for protection magic and can be useful when you work with this plant as a plant spirit familiar. It can be useful in warning the person by popping up in images, like close to the home or, you know, where you live or wherever. It can help to balance duality and assist the magical user in seeing things clearly, ironically. So there you go. There is a related type of nightshade. It's called black nightshade. And I'm not sure if you could even find the actual plant, but if you researched it and had lots of imagery and decided to work with it in a plant-familiar manner, black nightshade is more associated with the dark goddess and the crone and has associations with Hecate. And is very good for aiding in breaking past life cords and connections. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah. There is one more that I wanted to mention towards the very end, and it's a plant that you can find at garden stores. It's called foxglove.
Yeah.
It is a tall plant. The petals are of the flower, or I would call them trumpet-like, and they're all along the main stalk of the plant, and there's several of them. They can grow like several feet tall, and they're probably, and I know that there are different varieties of foxglove, but there's one in particular that was used historically, and this was one of its original uses, for the cardiovascular system. The drug digitalis was originally used to control cardiovascular problems like heart palpitations, thrombosis, hardening of the arteries, and it is deadly. You really shouldn't consume it. I'm not sure. I don't think it was the flowers. It was other parts of the plant that were distilled and used for cardiovascular work. But also, I mean, outright, it could cause your heart to stop. So it, for real, is poisonous.
See here, just reading up on this, on foxglove. Half of a gram dried or 2 grams of fresh leaves is enough to kill a person. So you really want to be careful with it.
Yeah. And again, I do want to be clear in saying that I don't think it's necessarily the plant that grows at the garden center, but it could be. Does it look the same as the ones we've seen at, like, So what would you use that for if you worked with it? Well, again, it is protective because, or it is, it can be used probably, I would use it more as a way to keep others at bay because it is poisonous. But while it is a poisonous plant, if you were to work with it, and again, in creating and fostering a plant spirit familiar relationship with it, because it is used, it was used historically for cardiovascular problems, the spirit of the plant affects the heart. It is thought to affect the heart and the emotional body of the person.
Oh.
So you can use it maybe to help foster more loving relations, or especially for those who are feeling unloved and abandoned.
See.
Yeah. So there you go. So that's a condensed version of baneful plants. And of the ones that I did not mention that are also baneful, one is called asafoetida. Again, I mentioned aconite. It's also called wolfsbane. Another plant is jimson weed. It's also called datura, D-A-T-U-R-A, and mandrake. And mandrake is not grown in the U.S. It is a European plant, and magically is associated with love, but it is considered a baneful plant because it is poison. But it does have different kinds of metaphysical or magical uses. Related to that is a plant I've seen substituted a lot, although they're not technically the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's called May apple. And they look similar, although not completely. So early on, you know, for people who had probably used it magically in the old world and then came upon the May apple plant, which is found near river bottoms. It's like in soggy areas.
Mm-hmm.
Although I have seen it grown on Circle Land. I've seen a few spots.
In the trees. Yeah, the woods.
Yep.
Up by the cemetery.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's associated with love and other things. So I did, you know, I wanted to mention that at the very end because, again, it is something that can be used for protection, for blessing, for cursing. And for many, you can substitute May apple for that.
Yeah.
But it is worth noting that I don't think May apple is, again, it has some attributes in common with the true mandrake, but it is not nearly as poisonous as the mandrake plant itself. So just thought I'd put that out there. So there you go. And in the U.S., if you think you're buying mandrake root, there's a good possibility you're probably buying May apple. So I can't guarantee it. I don't know for sure, but I don't think it's grown in the U.S. I don't think it can be, because with a lot of types of herbs or different kinds of plants, not what we would call your traditional medicinal herbs, well, some of them originally would have been wildcrafted. They can be grown in backyards and stuff. But there are still plenty of them, like mandrake root, like May apple, like American ginseng, that can really only thrive in wild areas in conjunction with other plants in an ecosystem. And if you try to grow them other places, it just doesn't work. Case for mandrake root. So if you think you bought it, maybe you didn't. So, but I'm not sure. I'm not saying anything outright one way or the other. So there you go. You have a nice basic list of stuff to work with. You can find a host of different books on this from a number of different authors. And we use Cunningham. We've had his books for a long time. But there are other authors who've come up with more recent stuff on herb magic and baneful herbs. And, in fact, there is an author that I think just came out with a book specifically on baneful herbs. I don't know much about it. So if you do a search on it, do your research, find out what the book is about. And maybe this is something that you will be interested in.
Cool.
So there you go. It is almost 10 after 9, so probably time for us to say goodbye. And, of course, we would like to thank Circle Sanctuary for allowing us. You have to stop that. Thank you, Circle Sanctuary, for letting us have the opportunity to do the show, and I'd like to thank Selena Fox and all of our other hosts that put out really good shows throughout the month, and of course also our promotional staff, which is Laura Gonzalez, Casey Pope, and
Juliana
who right, who send out all the promotions to the ether sphere everywhere on all of our shows every month. And of course, we'd like to thank everybody listening now and listening in the future. And in 2 weeks, we'll be doing a special show where we will, it'll be a Samhaintide show fit for the season.
Ritual?
Yes.
Okay.
So what song would you like to take us out with?
Well, I thought about, because it's plants and stuff, Greenwood Grove.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, because it's Dave Bard. And
he's cool.
Yeah. We'll close out tonight with the Greenwood Grove by Dave Bard.
All right.
Okay. Oh, and check out Circle Sanctuary's website for what they have going on for Samhain this year. Saturday will be online virtual events, and then Sunday there'll be stuff going on Circle Land on Sunday.
Right.
But you can check that out at circlesanctuary.org and look at the Samhain event information there. So they did come up with how they're going to do Samhain this year, because it's a modification because of COVID. They've had it adjust their plan. They had wanted to do a full in-person weekend, but the numbers and infections and stuff are still a little too risky for that.
In Wisconsin, yes.
Especially in Wisconsin, yeah.
Definitely.
Particularly in Wisconsin. So, yeah. So check out the website for Samhain and join Circle Samhain Virtual on Saturday.
Very good.
You'll probably see or hear or be influenced by us, as we will probably be helping to manage the virtual program.
Yeah.
Doing the tech stuff.
Definitely.
We'll see you there. Okay.
So thank you and many blessings.
Blessed be.
magic guarding, all the signs the future showing. Sweet willow sees her moon rising. Ash three realms he is touching. Hawthorn tells us the May is coming. Mighty oak with strength is standing. The holly on his chariot riding. Come follow me, come dance with me. Come with me to the greenwood grove, such magic there to see. The Lord of the Wild with his fairy kin, deep within the greenwood grove, will dance the magic ring. Wise Hazel watches the salmon feeding. Is ripe, intoxicating. I am the ivy, heed my warning. Yellow broom I offer healing. Blackthorn sharp for death preparing. The elder is a life of learning. Further distant future showing. Come follow me, come dance with me. Come with me to the greenwood grove, such magic there to see. The Lord of the Wild with his fairy kin, deep within the greenwood grove, will dance the magic ring.
Joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.